Please join me in the book of Revelation as we turn our attention once more back to the book of Revelation. Gentlemen, hold the text for just a moment. As we came to the book of Revelation, every one of us, I think, in this room have had questions. We have questions now. Why is this book so difficult? The symbols and the figurative language. Why? Angels, as we did 2 weeks ago in chapter 9, angels flying around with trumpets, a bowl of incense being poured out before the Lord. Why not just speak to us in very simple language? Does our Lord not want us to understand? There's not a very good answer to those questions other than regarding the literature style of the year, of the day, back in the first century. But also, there is a hidden language here because the Roman culture was persecuting the church, and so the message going out had to be somewhat hidden. But we have questions. I love studying the book of Revelation. I love preaching from the book of Revelation. But if somebody tells you they've got it figured out, then you probably need to go somewhere else. We will not know the full effect and teaching of the book of Revelation until we see the good Lord in glory. However, there are some questions answered that we can depend on and find our safety and security. Because if you go back and read the first verse of the book of Revelation, it is the apocalypse of Jesus Christ, which means it is the revelation of Jesus Christ during the church age. And then you go to chapter 21 and 22, where everything ends, and basically it can be summarized by saying, God wins. But the two questions that we can find secure here is that, are we the Christians? And I point to me, but I point to you as well. Are we Christians protected during the challenging events that we read of that is going to and is occurring in this book? Are we protected? Will the church stand? I hope you know the answer to that question before I go further. But then the second question is, what are we to do as we are in these times, and as we see these things being explained, revealed in this book? What are we to do? Because if you, as I've heard some, maybe even in this room, have said, when I read the book of Revelation, I'm afraid. I'm afraid of what's happening. I'm afraid of what's coming. Folks, that is not the intention of the book of Revelation. The intention of the book of Revelation is to bring you comfort. It is to bring you comfort by, A, showing you what is going to happen, even in these fantastical languages and symbols, but at the end, you win. Thank you, amen. You win. So what does the Lord expect us? Well, the Lord is generous, and while he is explaining things to John through this, he kind of takes a break every once in a while in the language to say, yeah, all the things are going on, but now let me tell you this. He's taken a pause to tell us we're going to be okay. If you would, go back to chapter 7. Of the book of Revelation. You know, if you have your Bibles open, just flip back to the book of to chapter 7, and you see in my Bible I have a subtitle, "The 144,000 of Israel Sealed." And he goes into detail here to John saying, "These are sealed." Now, because of the numbers, and we went through that before, and I won't do it again, but because of those numbers, you can be assured that you, being a portion, being a part of the church, are sealed and are protected. So whatever comes, whatever happens, you're sealed. It's like a good Tupperware bowl. Do y'all have the problem in your house that we have in our house? You got a bowl and you got a lid and they don't match. My wife has gone through and kind of symbolized some of them, say, okay, this one goes with this one. Sorry, just a thought. But here in the book of Revelation chapter 7, we are told that you, the church, you're sealed. You're good. And then he goes into chapter 10, or excuse me, 9, and opens that seventh seal, which begins the end of time. But then here again in chapter 10, he takes another pause. The second question is answered here in chapter 10, which is, like I've said, another pause. It's an unfolding of the decrees of God, presenting the opening of the seven seals. The sixth trumpet has blown. A gigantic war is going on, unequaled in all of history. But here we come to chapter 10. And what are we told? Now, gentlemen, if you would, chapter 10 of the book of Revelation. And I wish I had time to explain to you every single item of the descriptive nature that we hear here. I will touch a few of them. Hear the inerrant, inspired word of the living God. Then I saw another mighty angel coming down from heaven, wrapped in a cloud, with a rainbow over his head, and his face was like the sun, and his legs like pillars of fire. He had a little scroll open in his hand, and he set his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the land, and called out with a loud voice like a roaring lion. When he called out, the seven thunders sounded. And when the seven thunders had sounded, I was about to write, but I heard a voice from heaven saying, "Seal up what the seven thunders have said, and do not write it down." And the angel whom I saw standing on the sea and on the land raised his right hand to the heavens and swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created the heaven and what is in it, the earth and what is in it, and the sea and what is in it, and there would be no more delay. But in the days of the trumpet call to be sounded by the seventh angel, the ministry of God would be fulfilled, just as he announced to his servants, the prophets. Then the voice that I had heard from heaven spoke to me again, saying, "Go, take the scroll that is open in the hand of the angel who is standing on the sea and on the land." So I went to the angel and told him to give me the little scroll. And he said to me, "Take and eat it. It will make your stomach bitter, but in your mouth it will be sweet as honey." And I took the little scroll from the hand of the angel and I ate it. It was sweet as honey in my mouth, but when I had eaten it, my stomach was made bitter. And I was told, "You must again prophesy about many peoples and nations and kings and languages." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his most holy word. If we had questions before, we have more questions now. What is all of this? What is the meaning of this angel surrounded by clouds a rainbow and a face like the sun. What is this little scroll? Why does it sour John's stomach when he eats it, but yet taste like honey? And prophecy, prophesy what? Now, let me make a note here. We are most familiar with this term prophecy as we might read in the Old Testament, where Isaiah and Amos and all of those major and minor prophets prophesying about what is to come. All right, in this context, that word has a different meaning. In this context, this word has a different meaning. Prophesy simply means to preach, to teach. And so what are we to prophesy? What are we to teach? This is what I'm doing right now. Prophesy means to preach. And so John is asking, we are asking, what are we to prophesy? What are we to teach? This is what we have here. So let's dig in. First, the angels. Verse 1, then I saw another mighty angel coming down from heaven, wrapped in a cloud with a rainbow over his head and face like the sun and his legs like pillars of fire. A great angel who is robed in a cloud and has a rainbow about his head. John sees that this angel has the face like the sun and legs like pillars of fire. Now, if you go back and search through scriptures, you will find these visual characteristics are used many times to reveal righteousness. This angel is the personification of, I won't go so far as to say God himself, because an angel cannot do that. But here this angel is representing the righteousness, the purity of God himself. This mighty angel is a reflection of the character of God. This angel is evidently a high-ranking angel in God's army of angels. And he's here to bring a message to John. This mighty angel comes and stands with one foot in the sea, one foot on land, which again gives him, doesn't give him, but denotes to us the authority to which he has over all creation. He stands above and over all creation. And then he shouts a loud roar like a lion. And what is the message given? We don't know. Because here the angel tells John to seal it up. And what the seven thunders have said, seal it up. Don't write it down. Hold it until another time. And see, this is why we have so many questions about the book of Revelation. Something is exposed, then it's covered up. And see, I believe that's where faith comes in. This is where faith comes in. I don't know what this means. I've studied the book of Revelation many, 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 many times. You have read through the book of Revelation. But we don't know. And sometimes it's hard for us to not know. But yet we are told here that this message is sealed up. What do the seven thunders say? Why can we not hear this, Lord? Why can you not tell us what's going on here, Lord? I don't know. Are you comfortable saying, I don't know? Judy's asked me to read a book. Laura's story. I give up. You ladies have studied. I give up. You know what that means? I'm comfortable not knowing. I'm comfortable not being in charge. I'm comfortable with God saying, sorry, bud, this is mine, not yours. And so here we have an example here in the book of Revelation when we're trying to find answers to our questions. Lord, what are we supposed to be doing in this time that you have us in the church age? He said, I'm not going to tell you. Our questions will have to remain unanswered. Then this angel, wrapped in majesty, power, and glory, raises his right hand and swears by him who lives forever and ever. In the latter portion of verse 6, swore by him who lives forever, who created heaven and earth. All of this is in it, and there would be no more delay. Okay, the seventh trumpet has sounded. The seventh seal has opened. The end of time is now coming. And so here, while we don't know the answers, we do know that the end of time is being portrayed. And you have to be okay with it. It is time. It's time for the mystery of God to come to fruition. It's time for the seventh trumpet that has been sounded, and all will be found in its final place. The end of time is here. We would expect to read of the angel who has been given that seventh trumpet to culminate what he's doing, and all things come to a close. But not yet. Not yet. Verse 8. Then the voice that I had heard from heaven spoke to me again. Go, take the scroll that is open in the hand of the angel who is standing on the sea and on the land. So I went up to the angel and told him to give me that little scroll. We've been introduced to the scroll that God the Father has held in his hand, that the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, came and he's undone all of the seven seals, and now it's open. But here now we have another scroll, this little scroll. What is John told to do with this little scroll? Eat it. Appetizing, right? Eat it. Take and eat. And he goes further and says, take and eat. It will be bitter in your stomach. It will be sweet in your mouth. But then go prophesy. Turn with me to Ezekiel. Wow, how in the world did we get to Ezekiel out of the book of Revelation? They're very similar, actually. Ezekiel chapter 2, this little scroll. What is it in this scroll that is sweet to the taste, but then it sours my stomach? Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 7, and we will go over into a portion of chapter 3. And here is God speaking to Ezekiel, and he says in verse 7 of chapter 2, and you shall speak my words to them, whether they hear or refuse to hear, for they are rebellious people. Never mind. But you, son of man, hear what I say to you. Be not rebellious like the rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I give you. And when I look, behold, a hand was stretched out to me, and behold, a scroll of a book was in it. And he spread it before me. And it had writings on the front and on the back, and there were written on it words of lamentations and mourning and woe. And he said to me, son of man, eat whatever you find here. Eat this scroll and go speak to the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he gave me this scroll to eat. And he said to me, son of man, feed your belly with a scroll that I give you and fill your stomach with it. Then I ate it, and it was in my mouth as sweet as honey. Here we have the idea that the word of God that tastes sweet, Ezekiel was to consume the word and then speak to the house of Israel and say, this is the little scroll. In Revelation chapter 10, John is given this little scroll, and just like Ezekiel, he is told to eat it. And we are to do the same thing. This is the word of God. This little scroll is to be eaten. It is to be taken in. It is to be consumed. And by eating of this word, God is now personally involved, and he gives us what causes us to live and to mature. Symbolically, by eating, John now realizes the effects, the total effects of the word of God. But why sweet and then bitter? Why sweet and then bitter? When we read the word of God, when we take it and consume it, and please understand the literal nature of what John is being given here. We're not just simply just to look at this and see this. We are to consume it. You've heard the saying, you are what you eat. Here, the word of God is what we are to consume. And when we consume it, it has that wonderful blessing of God speaking to us. It has that wonderful blessing of being sweet in our mouths, if you will, to nourish us, encourage us, and grow us. But does not the word of God also turn bitter? When we read the discipline, we read things that reflect our sinfulness. It churns in our stomachs. With how are we to deal with this? Again, coming to the book of Revelation, how are we to deal with this? God's word is sweet when it comforts and draws us near, but when that word is used to rebuke, it could very easily have the tendency to turn away. God's word is that two-edged sword that prunes and prepares for growing, but it is also a discipline. And what is John to do with this word when he eats it? It's what I'm doing right here. It's what I'm doing right here, sharing with you, prophesying the word, the truth of the good Lord. So where do we go from here? We still have questions. I still don't understand. But yet at the same time, my two questions are answered. Am I assured? Are you assured of your salvation in Jesus Christ? Revelation chapter 7 says that the church has been sealed. And so if you have that confession, you've made that profession, then you are there. Then what are we to do in these times? What are we to do in these challenging times? How are you to answer your children's questions? How are you to tell your friends, your neighbors, etc., about the things that are going on in this world? A lot of those questions you will never be able to answer. But I have faith. I have faith in the one who does have the answers. I can't answer all your questions. David Sides has taught Sunday school as long as I am old. Right? Pretty close. He can't answer all your questions. Many of you have doctorates. You have advanced degrees. Public life. You don't have all the answers. And see, there's where we get in trouble when we think we do. But there's where faith comes in. I have faith in the one who wrote this book. I don't have the answers, but I have faith in the one who wrote it. And so here we are to eat. We are to ingest. We are to take in this word and live by it. I believe with all of my heart, that this is an inerrant, infallible, wholly inspired word of the living God. Nothing we are to take from it or add to it, ever. And that's what we have to live on. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father. Please take the words spoken here and deliver them to your people as they need, as you see they need. Forgive me. Forgive me. But I pray we have delivered it well enough. Bless us and keep us in Christ's name. Amen.